Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Welcome our very own. He is a counselor who really the whole world wants to listen to. He is none other than our Ahmad Tariq. Counselor Ahmad Tariq, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning, Ahmad?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan to all our radio listeners. Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us with another fine, beautiful Sunday morning, Shukran.
I tell you, you're a morning man. Now tell me, you have to be honest with me, Ahmad. You never, ever spoke a lie to me, and you don't lie to the people. That's why they like you. They will, if we did the show at midnight, hey, they'll get up and listen to you. You know why? You're a man of honesty. Now tell me, what time you slept last night? Give me the exact time. I think so you did night shift too.
Last night, it was, you know, we had a mayat last week in the building here last Sunday. I went to sleep about around 11 last night, and I was up at 4. Ever since from 4 this morning, I haven't dosed or anything like that. So every day my life is that about normal day is about anything from 10 onwards I go to sleep, and then by 4 I must get up. Now if the Fajr comes early, then it will come to about 3:30 or so. But alhamdulillah, that keeps me going, Shabbat.
Yeah, 4, half past 4 is Fajr. Hey, so you mean to say you sleep 4 hours or maximum 5 hours, Ahmad?
Alhamdulillah. Sometimes you get 4 hours, you get, you know, strength Allah gives, Shafat. So alhamdulillah, we carry on.
So in other words, when your head hits the pillow, you close your eyes.
Knockout, Shafat, but when the phone rings, I'm up again.
Hey, you're too good. I really love this man for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's the latest on the kafan dafan, Ahmad?
Shabbat, alhamdulillah, everything at the moment is quiet. But, you know, with the mortuaries, we managed to persuade them not to go on a full-blown strike at the moment. But we have still challenges in terms of PPE and equipment at the mortuary and all that. So they're not going at full capacity, but at the moment they are doing post-mortems. So there's a huge backlog. So this is eventually going to catch up, and, you know, the silly season is around the corner, and there will be a lot of road accidents. As it is without the silly season, there's so much of road accidents, you know, this week or last week, early last week, there was a huge accident there by Marin Hill Plaza, and 6 people died there. And then we had another one also with 13 people died. So, you know, there's all these things that coming in, all these ones is unnatural as to come for post for them. So it is catching up on us, but how long are we going to survive? Because, you know, in one mortuary there were supposed to be 4 to 5 doctors. There's only 2 doctors at the moment, so that is also compounding a huge problem for us. But you know what? End of the day, we try and getting things done, and then we're moving around with doctors from Phoenix and Pinetown and Park Rainey and Stanger. So they're coming, we're getting assistance, but you know how long this assistance is going to take, we don't know. But yeah, alhamdulillah, so far so good on that side of it. And as far as the ambulance service is concerned, alhamdulillah, we will be launching on the 3rd of December. We have already, the ambulance has been delivered. It's going for signage and branding. Once that is done, we have got the staff complement. Everything has been signed. Contracts have been signed. There will be 3 shifts at in Overport by opposite Ahmad Al Khadi. We've got a place there where we put the ambulance. Will be stationed there. We've got a control center. Our turnaround period, inshallah, should be in the region of between 3 and 4 minutes from the time we get a call. So that is one thing that we want to start mastering it. And inshallah, with the help of Allah, that will be sorted out by end of this month. And then hopefully we will be getting, before the launch, we should get our next ambulance as well. We need 2 at any one time. So, you know, these are the ambulance we have to put together, and inshallah, Allah will make it easy for us. And, you know, I've just put the word out already. You know, you won't believe it. You know, a lot of people have come through, and one brother in a function told me yesterday, it was Friday, Uncle Ahmed, you don't have to worry. I got for you 10 grand a month, on a continuous basis, and I can give you, if you take in zakat, I said, yes, because we will be using zakat as well. So he said, you got 15 grand zakat on a monthly basis, and make sure you dispose it before the financial zakat year. So alhamdulillah, you know, there is quite a few. I met another brother, you know, he lost his dad. He says, Uncle Mando, you know, I lost my father. I got 50 grand for you for your ambulance service. So alhamdulillah, you know, people know me. They know where the money is going to go. And, you know, it is. We got fully fledged chartered accountants on board, and we got proper accounting systems and everything. So alhamdulillah, shukar Allah, shukar that this ambulance service will take place by the end of this month. We'll be up and running, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah, yes, Ahmad, you know, whatever you have envisioned, or the vision that you had, you can see it's happening right in front of you, and tried and tested, and mashallah, you know, Allah bless you for that, for your good intention, and your reward will be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, it comes, you talk about the Sulli season, the matriculants are writing the examination, you know, the suicide levels, and people generally put this under file 13. We got about 3 minutes to go. I can see the newsman sitting at his desk. But very quickly, Ahmad, they're talking about some of the signs that parents should look out for. The children are, you know, on that brink of a suicidal thoughts, Ahmad.
Shabbat, you know what happens is, you know, we have been, what we have did over the years, most of the Jamatul Ulama, Sunni Jamatul Ulama, they have got literature and all that. And in fact, now they're talking about it in school in terms of pressure, in terms of stress level and everything else. It's not now that, you know, the pressure comes in. Once the results are out, that's when the major pressure comes in. And we were fortunate enough to take on the independent newspapers and all that, to tell them not to put, you know, you give a reference number and they must go on the system and you'll get your results. But previously, anyone could see who, you know, Shafad, how many A's, Fozia had, how many B's and A's. Now you just got your names there, and then you'll get a reference number and you go onto the system, then you'll know. No one else will know what your actual results are. So I think that is one big plus factor in terms of what we did, and when we had a meeting with the independent newspaper and the media association to say that, you know what, there's a problem we have here with the suicide, and this will be a big plus factor in reducing it, and it paid dividends, Jafar. And you know, Alims are talking from the member regarding suicide, and it definitely the numbers has come down. You know, you don't hear like what we used to hear in terms of suicide. But there's other things that is also, you're getting the rare suicide, you know, on a 3, 2, 1 a month, but it's no more like before, we used to get 5 and 6 and 7 in some months and all. But nevertheless, you have to still take a guard when the results come out. That is the most crucial time when the results come out. And in fact, parents need to know that, you know what, whatever happened with the will of Allah, that capacity of that student is only that much, and he did his best. And if he had to rewrite some of the papers, he must rewrite it, and that's what it is. And you cannot put pressure on the student. That's where we are wrong, actually. You know, you can do all the studies in the world, Shabbat. You know, I can tell you Hafiz, you know, if you want to become a Hafiz of Quran, some students do it in 2 years, some do it in 1.5 years, some do it in 3 years, some take 5, 6 years to finish Hafiz of Quran course. You know, this is how the capacity of the individual is like that. And Allah knows best how much he can absorb.
Ahmad, the news was hot, isn't it? It was at a high tempo and so forth. What caught your eye there, Ahmad?
Shabbat, first and foremost, that, you know, they're calling upon a holy war in Pakistan, where they're trying to assassinate Imran Khan. That was uncalled for, and I think they're looking for trouble. The government is looking for problem, and I think they're going to be getting what has been said by Imran Khan, because, you know, he's got a huge following there in Pakistan, and I think he's going to succeed in that, and I hope they can resolve this matter quick as possible, because there will be bloodshed in Pakistan. That there's no doubt about that. Then the Palestine issue needs, you know, October was the most deadliest month. You know, how many women and children were lost in every day. You're getting 2, 3, 4, 5. The Palestinians have been killed by the Israeli forces. So that is a big thing. And in the United Nations, and everyone is, you know, they're having a blinkers on their eyes that they're not doing anything about it. Yet they're talking about Ukraine. The playing fields are unlevel, so that is an issue that they need to solve quick as possible. Then the Kenyan airline, with almost 9,000 passengers stranded, you know, it's in Africa as well. It's one of the biggest airlines, and you know, you have a problem there with the strike there. So you have a big repercussion with travelers traveling all over Africa when Kenyan airline is out of service for now. And then the diesel price of 143 on Wednesday, that was to pay like almost 27 rand for a liter of diesel. You know, where are we going? In fact, you know, it seems like in the next year or so, we should be paying about 30 rand if the things don't get right in this country. And, you know, with the rand dollar, it doesn't come right. Then we'll be in a big problem there. And, KZN, there's, in all the beaches, we already got 9 blue flags. And we got 7 beaches that they opened, the municipality opened. But, you know, when we did the test, we're not happy with that. And this matter has been taken up legally. Though we are going, HNSA is going legal this week. So that is another issue that we will be keeping the media posted on that, Shafat.
You know, Alhamdulillah, you made some very valid observations. I mean, KZN, our beaches were well known for all the blue flags. And once upon a time, they're saying, hey, I'm going to get the blue flag for Spingo Beach. Now, even I don't know what color flag you're going to put here to tell the people, beware, you don't come near these beaches. Yeah, you talk about Durban sending out a very positive signal to KZN. They're sending out a positive signal to the rest of the country, and also a positive signal to the world. And there you get Cape Town winning awards for the Table Mountain. Cape Town also the busiest airport in this part of the world. Talk to us, Ahmed, the tug of war between Durban and Cape Town. Who's winning?
Shabab, at the moment, people are, we must concede that Cape Town is a little bit ahead of us in terms of cleanliness in that area. They have put a new fleet to curb hijacking in Cape Town. And in that sense, I must concede they are much better than we in KZN. And with the beaches, they got more beaches, got blue flags than we got. We only got 9 in the whole province. So, you know, it's a factor that we have to take into account, that we will not be getting the tourists that what we're expecting this year. So the market is going to be down, and it's going to have a huge ripple effect. In coming January, there's a lot of companies that might close down, as well as there will be job losses. And if you look at the moment, you got 40%, 60% of the youth is unemployed, Shafat. This is an actual fact figure that we have compiled together, and 40% of adults are unemployed. So you got a country where you got huge unemployment. And my only fear is that what happened in the Middle East and all that, you know, there was a youth uprising. And this, you know, the youth can only take so much. You know, as we spoke about suicide, you know, that student only can take so much. He's now finished his degree, he's finished his university, and he's lying around and waiting to get a job opportunity in South Africa. He's not getting that. And if they mobilize together, and that's when we're going to have a massive problem in this country. They need to start thinking of a way how to get these youths employed, and also the employment market. Because the employment market, when you have a country of 56 million, or just with the foreigners, say 60 million in a country, and when you've got 40% of male and female unemployed, and then 60% in the youth, you have a big major problem, man. The country need to put something together drastically to bring these numbers down. That's the only way. When you start employing the people, they will be, you know, everybody will be happier. Otherwise, you will have a massive problem coming next year, Shobha.
Well said, Ahmed. And people, the program is consciously connected. The segment is Free Talk with Councillor Ahmed Parak. Your questions are coming through. Sattar says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed. I am your big fan, and Allah bless you now and forever. Keep it up with the ambulance also. Allah is giving you money from unnamed sources. You don't even have to ask, Ahmed. Allah will give it to you. Well said there, Sattar. He says, do we really need holiday in South Africa? Because every second day, there's toy-toying and there's unions calling for strikes. We don't need holiday in this country. It's on a permanent standstill. Your comments, Ahmed. I think Sattar is making a great point there. What's your thoughts, Ahmed?
Shafat, you know, I was reading an article. They want to bring it to a four-day week because that way they might get, they're working on a system internationally. They have already tried and tested that on a four-day week, they're getting much better production than on a five-day week. That's number one. So, you know, that is on the pipeline. Then you're talking about whether we want to have this country like permanently on holiday because you've got toys. Some every second, third day, there's marches are taking place, people not opening their businesses because they don't know what's going to happen. So, you know, end of the day, you know, holidays are holidays. There's a lot of big industries, corporate companies, they all go on an annual vacation, and the workers normally after that they go to the farms and all that. I think they need that break, Shabbat.
Yeah, looking at this message, Abdul says, Assalamu alaikum. Ahmed, I want to be realistic here. When I go to my shopping center, I have to carry a little extra money. Number one, I have to give those beggars that are on the road. Number two, there's certain individuals that sit off outside the shopping center taking my money also. And number three, besides paying the rates and taxes and paying the taxes that I pay, I have to pay tax every day just to go buy a loaf of bread. What is this country coming to, Ahmed? Please advise.
So first and foremost, I think we are spoiling all this beggars. In fact, it's becoming like worse than India. When India, you know, India like 40% or 30% people only beg there. I think we, by virtue of giving these people, you inviting them more and more to the. I know in some of the street corners, there was only one guy. Today you'll find five and six guys because they're getting at least in the region of about 120 rand or maybe 150 in a good day. They might even get 200 rand. The issue is we are spoiling them by giving them, you're inviting. So end of the day, everyone must make a decision and we must not give them. When you give them, then you want to be inviting these guys or these beggars on our street corners and everything else, Shabbat.
Yeah, you got a point there. But then these guys are master psychologists. They know what words to use. They call you, oh, how you, Hazrat? Oh, how's it, Lani? You know, this and that. And some people, out of the ego, they may be giving the money. They don't know how to refuse them. What's your thoughts on that, Ahmed?
Shafat, you know, if you go to a proper shopping center where you got the proper car guards and all that, they, if you give them, it's fine because end of the day, they help you. They take your trolley, they put your in your groceries and everything. You don't even have to load your vehicle. So in that sense, it's fine. You know, you give the guy 2 rand or 5 rand or whatever you will give, it's fine. But the guys, that is a problem that once in the street corners, and it's a huge problem. And these are brilliant guys because they will tell you, how's it, boss? How's it, Lani? Then you feel sorry for them and you give them. In fact, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. Now, that's when we are creating this problem for ourselves. And then we're saying, you know what, a counselor, you know, all these guys are in the street corner. They've been a nuisance to us. But you are giving them the money. You are encouraging them. Once you stop that and everybody stops that, then they will automatically run from here and they go to somewhere else where they can get it.
Looking at a message from Aslam, he says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed. I recently read in the newspaper that there are thousands of councillors in the Itikweni municipality that are suspended and are still getting full salary. And some of them are getting pension money that you can't even mention. What is all this, Ahmed? When will this come to an end? And it seems as if Cyril Ramaphosa will not stand for the election, but his brother-in-law, who is another one part of the Alibaba syndrome that will steal from the coffers of the state. Please, Ahmed, conscientize these people, warn the people, go and talk to CR and his brother-in-law not to pull the wool over our eyes. Ahmed, that's a hot one, eh?
That brother is 100% right. If you take in the province government, you got about 27 or almost 30 suspended. And we, it cost us to date about 33.5 million. In the city alone, in the Kigwini municipality, yes, we got some suspended, but we don't have a very high figure because they're working around the clock to solve the problem. If they need to convict them, they are getting convicted. If there's an investigation, they're doing the investigation quick as possible because it's costing the city the money and it's costing the ratepayers money. So that you can't do anything. If a guy is suspended based on how his contract is, and if he hasn't gone to the CCMA or anything like that, in most cases, you have to, unless you have dismissed him outright, then it's a separate issue because he cannot get paid. But if he's suspended till he has been brought before a disciplinary committee, his salary is still on. So if they keep dragging their feet and they're not bringing the people to the disciplinary committee quick as possible, then the guy, in some cases, is 4 or 5 months, in some cases, a year. You know, this is a problem that we are faced with because these matters are not getting closure. So that's where our problem is. As far as the Ramaphosa and his brother-in-law and all that, that's another issue that is, you know, I think our president knows that days are almost coming to an end after the conference is next month. And I'm not sure if he's going to get the support to serve the next term. And I think he's looking at Plan B, and Plan B might be his brother-in-law. So that is the thing, he's looking at Plan B. So that's where I figure it out that that is what's going to happen.
Ayub says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed. I've been looking at the war that's taking place in Itikweni between the mayor and the deputy mayor, and not forgetting other staff members, and then you look at the ANC plugging each other off. It seems as if you're the only one that puts a smile on the dial when you walk into the building of Itikweni. I want to know from you, Ahmed, when will this Gumede lady be put in orange overalls, because she's also running a mock. Ahmed, how do you respond to Ayub?
That Gumede matter, it is before the matter, before the courts at the moment.
Ayub was making the point that at a municipality, I'm just paraphrasing, people like Gumede and all that, when will they be brought into orange overalls? And another question here, time is running out. And our brother says, bring back the vetoes. They know exactly how to run the technical department of the municipalities. They will make sure that we will not have a load shedding. They will make sure that the municipality will be running shipshape. Let them come be knockers, but they'll be top knockers, top workers. How do you respond to that, Ahmed?
The first question, Shabbat, that the matter of that Gumede matter, it's before court, and I think it's been already set down for trial in February sometime, for the 415 million DSW fraud. So that is that corruption and the fraud issue is before court. The trial time is date has been set, and they will come before court on that one. Then the other issue, the one that you just raised now, is that, you know, most of our skilled artisans from the Department of Electricity Department, Water Department, they all left the country. These were top engineers and all who knew exactly how the city needs, what they need, what is the requirements and everything. They've got much better job opportunities overseas. So most of them have left, all our skilled top guys have left the city and the municipality and gone overseas because they're getting much better salaries than what we were getting here. And that we made that biggest mistake was letting them go. We should have kept those engineers who knew what was happening before the apartheid days, and they knew exactly when the system is going to go down, what we should be doing. They had a plan B. Everything was in place. Now these guys are gone. So we have to restart the whole ball game from scratch. And that's where our problem is at the moment, Shafan.
Yeah, Ahmed, there's a lovely question here from Farooq. He says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed. I've been listening to you for some time, and I really must compliment Shafaz Ahmed Khan and Marcus Sahaba for delivering at the highest level with people like yourself, with them. He goes on to say, I want to tell you, Ahmed, that during the holiday periods, there's a skeleton staff running the municipality, and many volunteers come through. I know the United States that when the volunteers come through, it is the Yahudi or the Jewish lobby or the Jewish groups that send in the youth to go and help in very strategic positions. Why don't you get our Muslim, young Muslim men to volunteer and to come and help out at the municipality and perhaps get to know how these critical entities work, and inshallah, perhaps they can one day be part and parcel of a successfully run city. Very good point indeed by Farooq. How do you respond, Ahmed?
Shafat, we have already, this is already in the pipeline. In fact, recently we had volunteer, all youth at the Home Office assisting them there. In various departments, they are bringing youth into the equation to assist. But when it's peak season, in the red light, we call it, it's what they do is they normally don't give all the top brass leave in those months and all that, because that's when you need to much service delivery, because there's got tourism and everything else come into the country, and we have to be at our best. So they get staggered leave, and they will bring a skeleton staff too. But these are all trained staff. You have to train them and all that. Like what Metro Police have done now. They brought in additional 200 members, and they have already been through the mill. They have been through the training and everything. They have already on the beat now. This is what we are doing at the moment.
Ahmed, you talk about the beat. And what about that beat they had last week where the police were having a drill for the public to watch? And they said half of them failed the test. I mean, these were employed policemen that they couldn't even do basic drills and exercises. What's your thoughts on that, Ahmed?
If it's Metro Police or the SAPS. Now, SAPS, South African Police Services, they've got their own system, and it's mainly done in Pretoria, because that's where the main training college is, and they go through the full course. And I can't see, though, if they come from that school, they have got certificates and everything, because they go through the full drill. So I'm not sure, you know, end of the day, they're training here in Durban as well. So if they have not complied, how can they still get certificate and they still be a, they get a job here? Because they go on a 6 month trial, and thereafter they become permanent shepherds.
Yeah, and many say that they had to buy their way through to get into the police force and this force, and that they had to buy their way through. That is shocking indeed, Ahmed. Well, as usual, when we talk to you on Straight Talk, it's already full of information. Perhaps your parting words of this morning?
But you know what we must understand? You know, if all of us complain about this city, we're not getting this done, we're not getting that done, first and foremost is form a rate-based association, like what we have done in Musgrave yesterday. Form these associations. Now we are going, we like how we have taken the matter for this raw soup going into the sea and the river. Then we can take on behalf of the community, take the municipal on, the government on, then we got the muscle behind us. So this is what my plea is to the community. Come on board, form these ratepayers association, and then we have clout, and that's when we are at our best to go and fight, because you are a ratepayer, you are entitled in terms of the law to get service delivery, Shafan.
I tell you really deliver. Ahmed, hey, this brother is asking me, he's from London, he says, Assalamu alaikum. Please, chef, before you end off your show, ask Ahmed what he's having for lunch, and I can guarantee you that Ahmed is having dal ghost with kachumbar. This brother from London, he knows what you're having for lunch, Ahmed. Is he right? You're having dal ghost with kachumbar. How true is that?
You're right. Today I'm going to a function, and I think that is the menu for us today, Shabbat.
Hey, the brother, you got Ahmad tabbed, eh? Ahmad, you have a beautiful, lovely day ahead. We'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa
rahmatullahi. Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.